Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiur and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now in Masechet Bava Batra, Daf Kuf Lamed Hey Amud Bet. At the Mishnah, Mishamaitin would say, Daitiki Shura Al Yerecho. Fellow dies, and we find, as an example, a Daitiki, like a will, which is tied to his leg. Harezu Eina Klum. It doesn't mean anything. Zika Bala Acher, but if he gave it to somebody else and had them make a kinyan on it, it doesn't matter who it is, then it is attended to. Now, Tanu Rabbanan. Ezui Daitiki. What's a Daitiki? This should be fulfilled. If it has that wording in it, that's good enough. Ezui Matana. What's a Star Matana? As long as it's made effective as of now, but only kicking in after death. Now, Elam Hayom Lachamita Udahavi Matana, Achshav Lahavi Matana. You can't give a gift now. What the right meant was, what is a matana of a bari that will have the same effect as a matnat shchimira? That will all, the delokani el chamita, that will only take effect after death. You have to put that language in. We'll see more about that in the next Mishnah. He was sitting in the portico of Rav's yeshiva. And he quoted Rabbi Yochanan saying, "Shchimira shemakitfu numana leploni." If a shchimira said, "Write and give this money to Ploni," umate ain kotinotin. You don't do it. Why? Shemalogam alak notuala b'shtar. Because maybe by saying kitfu, which a shchimira does not have to say, the fact that he said it means he really wanted it to be b'shtar. And shtar lachamita, shtar cannot be affected after death. Amalehu Rabbi Lazar, so Rabbi Lazar turned to him and said, "Izdaharuba." Now this means, this is what Rav is quote, what they're quoting, happened. Rabbi Yochanan said the halacha, and Rabbi Lazar confirmed it and said, you should be careful for that. Rav Shizvi Amar, he had the opposite take. Rabbi Lazar Amrav, Rabbi Yochanan Izdaharuba. It was Rabbi Yochanan who confirmed it. Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak, Kavatei Rav Shizvi Mistabri, said that version sounds more correct. Because he Amrav Bishnamar Rabbi Lazar Amrai, Tzarech Rabbi Yochanan Masudi Aleid Rabbi Lazar. I understand why Rabbi Yochanan, who is his senior and his Rebbe, would have to confirm the student's teaching. Does Rabbi Lazar have to confirm his own teacher's ruling? We know that Rabbi Lazar said it. He quoted Rabbi Avahu. Ravin sent a message from Eretz Yisrael quoting Rabbi Avahu. You should know that Rabbi Lazar sent a message to Bavel. Mishum Rabbeinu, quoting Rabbi Yochanan. Our exact ruling. Rabbi Yochanan Amar said you have to look into the shtar. My tibadek. So now we're confirmed that Rabbi Lazar said the halacha. Rabbi Yochanan confirmed it, but Rabbi Yochanan added a writer here, which is it has to be looked into. What does that mean? Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael. He said, Rabbi Yochanan meant is a daitiki can cancel an earlier daitiki. What does that mean? If what he was trying to do was, I wanted a regular manat shchimira, and then I said, write it in order to give him more power of collection or of substantiation on the ownership, then we write it. But if not, if he really changed his mind and wanted it to be Pishtar, then we don't write it. We have a teaching that if a Bari says that and then drops dead, then we don't write it. Drops dead meaning he's not a Shchimira, but he suddenly dies. The implication is that a Shchimira says that we do write it without regard for what his intent was. Rabbi Abba Memel challenged it. He answered it also. And we're only talking about a case where he was clearly trying to enhance the recipient's ability to collect. Now, how does that work? In other words, what will be an indicator that he really is trying to give him power? If you write in a star that we made a kinyan in addition to this matana. In other words, you made it clear that you're not changing anything, you're adding. Here he also said, also write it, meaning give it to him and also write it. Meaning I'm just trying to enhance his ability, not change the gift. In Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shmuel, Alocha Kotvin Vinotnin. That's the Alocha. But Kenamar Avraham Rav Nachman, Alocha Kotvin Vinotnin. So in Bavel, it was very clear the Halacha is Kotvin Vinotnin, and we're not concerned that the fellow really changed his mind and wanted it to be Bishtar and the Inshallah Harmita, but that, of course, will only work when it's Miapet Kochav. Okay, the next piece. Kotev Nechasal V'vanav Tzarech Shiyichtov Mehayom Olach Harmita. Divir Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, the Shtar has to say Mehayom Olach Harmita. Rabbi Yossi Omer Eino Tzarech. You don't need it. We'll see why. HaKotev Nechasal Livno Leachar Moto Ha'av Eino Yecholim Korban Eishen Ketuvim Livit Laben. So let's say that a father writes his stuff over to his son. Again, he's changing the amount of the Yerusha, let's say, as per Rabbi Yochanan Bruka. And what happens in the meantime? So the father can't sell because it's written over to the son. And the son can't sell because they're right now being held by the father. What happens if they go against that? If the father sells it, then the sale is valid until he dies, and then it goes back to the son. If the son sells it, then the buyer has no claim on it until father dies. So somebody might buy it on spec. Now, how does it help to write Mehayom Ulach Harmita? In Masechet Gittin, Perek Vav, we learned that if you write in a get, Mehayom Ulach Harmita, it's a Sofek get. You get Veno get. Therefore, if there are no children, she has to get chalitza, but she can't have yibum, because sofek get. Now, hata masafka lani itnah. The answer is hata masafka lani itnah havei chazara havei. In the case of Mehayom Ulach Harmita, we're not sure if he meant to divorce her immediately or Ulach Harmita. I mean, it was a t'nai that he's saying, like retroactive, as is in our case, or if he changed his mind. Aval hachi, hacha, hachi kamar. Here we know what the guy meant. I want you to have ownership over the property today. Payroll lacharmita, but you'll only be able to start collecting payroll lacharmita. So there is no question what he meant. What he really wanted was to say that this thing is assigned to you, but you can only collect it lacharmita. Okay. Now, interesting story. Rava Baravua Chola, she was sick. Alagabe Ravuna v'Rav Nachman. They came to visit him. So Rav Huna said to Rav Nachman, "Boy, minei halacha Rabbi Yossi and halacha Rabbi Yossi. Ask him whether halacha follows Rabbi Yossi in this case." Amar le tamid Rabbi Yossi lo yadana. He said, "Wait a second. I don't even understand Rabbi Yossi's reasoning. Halacha iboy minei. Now you're asking whether halacha is like that. First, let's clarify what he means. Amar le at boy minei I halacha ilo. You ask him if the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. The time ane amin halacha." And then, if he tells you, then I'll tell you Rabbi Yossi's reasoning. So, bo amine, amarle hachi, amarav, halacha Rabbi Yossi. So, Rav Huna said, yeah, indeed, Rav said the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. So, batu dunafku, so they left. Amarle, Rav Huna, then Rav Nachman turned to Rav Huna and said, yeah, okay, he said halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. So, Rav Huna said, I'll tell you why. Hainu tam Rabbi Yossi, damar zmano shoshtam rochiach alav. Because the date on the star proves that he meant it to be retroactive. In other words, if you write in a shtar dated today, I'm giving you this property after I die, it's clear from the date on the shtar that you meant it to be retroactive to when you were alive, and therefore the gift is valid. We have a bright that says that explicitly. Okay, so now Rava asked Rav Nachman, will it work with a regular shtar that is a shtar kinyan? In other words, if you don't put the date on it, if you don't say Mehayom Ulach Harmita, will it work because there's a date on the star? He said, you also don't need it on in Hakna, just like start with a Shchimira. Papi Amar, Ika Aknita Ditzarech, Ika Aknita Ditzarech. It depends on the phrasing of the star. Akne v'kanina mine, if you say, I'm being makne it and being kone from him, lo tzarech. Kanina mine v'akne, but if you flip that, then tzarech. So he turned around and said, I don't know, it makes sense. We're the rabbis and we don't know which it is, and the sofrim do. Shaluna the safri de bayit v'yadi, the safri de rav v'yadi. We asked the scribes working in a bayis based medrash and rav is based in, and they know. How do we not know? So Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua Amar, he said, no, forget it. Bein akne v'kanina mine, bein akne mine v'akne, it doesn't matter. The order, lo tzarich. You never need to have the date on it. The only time you do is uvaduchron pitgamid avi beanpa pligi. Meaning, when did Rabbi Yehuda even disagree? and say that you need the time. It's only when you say, we mentioned this deal, in other words, it's like a shtar in which they've agreed to make a deal, but they didn't specify when the deal happens. Then you need the date in it, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi according to Rabbi Yossi, you don't. But even Rabbi Yehuda would be modeh if it was a regular shtar shchimira or shtar akna, you don't need it, because manos shtar mochiach alav. Rav Karam Rita l'shmate coming to Rav Zvid, mina hardea. I said this in front of Rav Zvid. Vamarli atun hachum atninulo. You guys learned it that way. Anan me the within hardeans, hachim atninulo. We learned it as follows. Amarav amrav nachman mehakna einot tzarich. Straight up. Bein akne v'kanim v'nei, bein kanim v'nei v'akne. There's no difference in the order. Tzarich b'duchva, lo tzarich b'duchan b'tkam mitaham v'an pana pligi. But the machloket is only when the shtar is, they mentioned this in our presence, says the Yedim. Then it depends, then Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi have the disagreement about whether you have to write Mihayom Lacharmita or whether the date is enough. Okay, according to Chasav, they know Lacharmoto. So now, Itmar, Machar HaBen B'Chayav U'Meit HaBen B'Chayav. Now here's a little twist on the case. What happens if the son sold the property, which means, of course, the Lokeach, as the Mishnah says, will have no rights to it until father dies, but then the son predeceases the father. What happens? Does it go to the Lokeach or does it go back to the Yerushapat? I'm Rabbi Yochanan Lo Kana Lokeach. Guy doesn't get it. Rishalakish Amar Kana Lokeach. He does. Why? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lo Kana Lokeach. Because Kinyan Peruka Kinyan Aguftami. Because father had the Kinyan of Perot, and therefore that means father really owned the thing. Kid didn't have access to the Perot until after father died. Which means when the kid dies, all that happens is the future interest in it is cut off. The father still owns it, and then it goes to his yorshim. Meaning the son is the real owner, and the father just has kinyan perot. No, we already have this machloket. If a guy sells his field for purposes of perot, meaning he holds the field and allows somebody else to get the perot. Yochanan says that the other fellow can bring those perot and do mikra bikurim because it's his field. Because kinyan perot kinyan aguf. You bring the bikurim, but you can't do the kriya because you can't say the land you gave me is not his land. So we have to justify it. Here's Rabbi Yochanan justified. Even though I hold that generally, and that's why I said what I did about bikurim. Hacha itzarich. I had to mention it again in the context of this sale, and then it reverts back to the father. Why? I would have thought that when the father gives it to his son, it's not an outsider. I would think that he's mochel the fact that he owns the property, and then the son's sale is a valid sale. Kamash malan that kinyan perot kinyan aguf. Even here, Shimon Lakishamar, he's also justified. Ma'afal gav the be'alma kinyan perot lav kinyan aguf dami. And that's why I said what I did about Bikurim. Hachet Starik, I had to mention it again here that the sale is valid. Salkadai Tachamena, kol agabe nafshe, from the makom brei nafshe adifalei. Anytime that it's a comebacker, meaning that the death of the son brings it back to the father, even though it's the son, here we would say kinyan perot lav kinyan aguf, and it comes back to him. Kamash malan, the kinyan perot is never kinyan aguf. Okay, it's Rabbi Yochanan Shlokish. Rabbi Yochanan challenged Rabbi Shlokish with the Acharecha scene. Nechasai lach v'acharecha yirash ploni v'acharav yirash ploni. So I'm giving it to you, Mr. A. And after you, it goes to Mr. B. And after him, Mr. C. Meit rishon kanasheni. When A dies, it goes to B. Meit sheni kanashlishi. B dies, it goes to C. Meit sheni v'chai rishon. If B predeceases A, yachzeru nechasin yosher rishon. When A dies, it goes to A's heirs and not to C. Rabbi Yochanan says to Rish Lakish, according to you, none of them had it, and it should go back to the original guy's Yorshim, not to A's Yorshim. He already said Acharecha Shani. The case of Acharecha is different, because when you make an Acharecha, you really mean to give the Perot and the Goof. Rabbi Rav Huna identified that contradiction in front of Rav and answered Acharecha Shani. I Vatanya Chazur Liyoshe Noten, but we have a brayta that says exactly what Rabbi Yochanan wanted it to say for Rish Lakish, which is it goes back to the heirs of the donor. So Tanoi, the answer is the Machloket Tanaim. The Tanya Nachasai Lach V'Acharecha Liploni. If a guy does an acharecha din, viyarad rishonu machar viachal, and the first guy went and sold some of that property or devoured some of it, hashenim osiri yad alekuchot, divi Rebbe. Rebbe says, the second guy, when the first guy dies, the second guy can go and seize it from the guy, from the people who bought it from A. Shem Gamliel Omer, Ein L'Sheni Elam HaShishi Arishon. No, the second guy only has what the first guy left over, because the first guy totally owns it. And so therefore, you see that it really, you could argue that either it goes back to Yorshei Notain, according to Shem Gamliel, or it goes to Yorshei of the first guy, according to Rebbe. Raminu, now we have a challenge here. Nechasa Lach L'Acharecha L'Ploni, again an Acharecha case. Yored Rishon U'mocha V'ochal Divi Rebbe. Rebbe said that the first guy can go and eat some of that stuff. No, he can only get perot. He can't sell it or use up the land. We have a contradiction within both positions. So the Rebbe, the Rebbe Lokasha, there's no contradiction. Halagufa, halapere. If you sold it for gufa karka, and that's what the acharecha was, then you really have rights to go down. But if you only for perot, then that's all you get. You don't have rights to go to the field and sell it. But the avad, if you did, whatever you used is yours. And the second guy only gets what the first guy left over. We're talking about a rasha arum, which is somebody who is technically in the clear legally, but he's a terrible guy. That's somebody who gives advice to a Mr. A in this scenario to sell the property, following Shem Gamliel, that the sale will be valid, and B is going to lose everything because A, while he had it, sold it, kind of like the Savta case we had earlier. Okay, we're going to stop at this point, pick it up with further examination of these positions in the next podcast, but in the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.